There are three scripture readings today. First is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along in your pews in the Bible, Bibles in the pews, from pages 631 and 632. It's a lot of audibles today. All right, so. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Judgment pronounced on arrogance. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The second scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, which can be found on the New Testament, pages 27 and 28. But about the day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Last reading is Galatians chapter 5. Verses 13 and 14, and then verses 19 through 24, which can be found in pages 190 through 191 in the Pew Bible. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now the words of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today we celebrate the first day of Advent as we watch for the coming of Christ. But Advent this year begins with Thanksgiving guests still on their way home from Thanksgiving feasts, people at the airport still or on the road, still finding their way home. This week, many of us were able to celebrate Thanksgiving. For many of us, this means family around a dinner table, food, lots of food. And many dishes in your home are those that are only made a few times during the year. Relatives and friends are around the table that you may not have seen in a while. Conversation, lots of conversation, good conversation. Getting caught up on what is happening in the lives of family and friends you've not seen. What their children are doing now. What's happening in their job? Is there someone special in their lives? Family plans for an upcoming anniversary. Sports achievements. Concerns, celebrations, remembering loved ones. Notice I didn't talk about any of the conversation landmines that are present in our day, our lives today. Healthcare, abortion, nomination of Supreme Court justices, Me Too movement, immigration, gender equality, feeding the hungry, welfare, global warming, stewardship of the earth. The list of these triggers goes on and on. In fact, just a few years ago, something that was universally accepted today is a trigger, and you have to know the talking points of your tribe. There have been family gatherings at the Cameron household over the years past where a relative of mine would say something like, "Can you believe what Trump just did?" And immediately there will be other family members that start listing the talking points in defense of the president. Variations on this conversation have started around our family table with the outrage of the moment over the years. The joy of intimate conversation becomes a memory and is replaced by the need to win the debate in a general sense of tension. Has this ever happened to you? Let me read to you the Galatians passage that Dave read to you. This time I'm going to be reading from the ESV. "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Idolatry occurs when we place something above God. How does this pertain to our dinner table talk that we just had? Let's talk about one of those hot button topics, how we talk about politics. First, some background facts on how we talk about politics. And I'm taking this information from the Reverend Sky Gitani. He was a past editor of Christianity Today. And they're mostly coming from his devotional, With God Daily. Michelle Margolis' book, From Politics to the Pews, in this she indicates that politics forms our faith, not the other way around. Let me repeat this. Politics forms our faith, not the other way around. Most Americans form their faith later in life, after marriage and after having children. Political beliefs, conversely, are formed during early adolescence and early adulthood. As a result, political beliefs help shape our view of God. Let's take two examples. The Black Evangelical Church overwhelmingly votes Democratic in this country, while the Southern Evangelical Church overwhelmingly votes Republican. Both conservative evangelical Christian denominations, but have a completely different cultural worldview. It is my feeling the world, such as Fox News and MSNBC and all the other noise that we hear, are more influential in forming what it means to be a Christian than the church. How do your politics influence your Christianity? Let me take a 2017 Stanford study. Today, Americans consider political identity more important than race, religion, or ethnicity. The study states that this trend has been going on for years. In a survey question, they asked, would you be upset if your child married someone from the opposite political party? In 1960, the survey said 5% of Republicans and 4% of Democrats said they would be upset. 10 years later, in 1970, 49% of Republicans and 33% of Democrats said they'd be upset if their child intermarried with another political belief. American views on racial and religious toleration have increased over the years, yet our views on political diversity are becoming less tolerant. When politics is more important than what it means to follow Christ, politics becomes an idol. It is my feeling that the idolatry of politics is a major thorn in the side of the American church. So where does this leave Calvin? Good, faithful Christians can and are found in both conservative and progressive political parties. This church family reflects the fact. It is my view that the parties today are all about the pursuit of power. In the end, both Republican and Democratic parties, and all the others, are worldly institutions, and they aren't Christ-centered. We as Christians must be careful to identify as Christian when answering political questions. One must run party positions through our Christian lenses. This is not easy. The politics we see on the internet and on the airwaves is all about power, beating the other party to rule and create your vision for the world. We can't help ingesting this content. We must remember God turns the notion of worldly power on its head. In the Isaiah passage, weapons are turned into garden tools and judgment is pronounced on arrogance. The notion of worldly power is turned on its head when the God of the universe comes into the world as an impoverished infant to an unwed mother, totally dependent upon others. The notion of worldly power is turned on its head when Jesus, God taken on flesh, tells his followers that we are to serve others in the world as he has served others in the world. It is clear the way we as followers of Christ are called to look at politics is very different from the way we see it grappled with by others around us. America's political parties aim to gain power to rule. As followers of Christ, all power belongs to God, and we are called to serve others. How is this contradiction reconciled? The one place we can honestly struggle with this hard question is here at Calvin. I recommend the Faithful Conversations group that meets once a month, led by Pastor Kevin. It meets the second Sunday of each month at 6 p.m. These group discussions talk openly about how we reconcile as Christians the controversies of the day. The next conversation is going to be in January as because of Advent, we canceled the December meeting. So think about joining us in January during the second Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. How do we reconcile life's hard questions? We must use the resources God has given us, the Holy Spirit, your Calvin church family, scripture, and prayer. Discernment requires honesty. As Christ followers, the Calvin family is called to be honest when we speak to each other. Honesty is enhanced because Calvin is a safe place where we are loved for who we are. We are blessed. We have a congregation where we can ask hard questions. We recognize each other as children of God, made in the image of God, seeking to live like Jesus in a confusing and unstable world. This does not happen by accident. By the grace of God, Calvin works at being open and hospitable to the questions asked in our midst. It is healthy when we grapple with the pressures of living. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control should guide us always as we navigate life's questions. Paul tells us these are the attributes of the Spirit. We should be wary when we do not see love behind the messages we hear. Each follower of Christ has been given a measure of these gifts by God's grace. How we treat each other matters. How the world sees us treating each other matters. It is powerful when the world sees us processing life issues like politics with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The world is watching. Today we begin the Advent journey. There is space in the Advent Christmas story for every single one of us. Even with the confusion of life today, there is space in this sacred story for our doubts, our worries, our joys, and our celebrations. There is a space for grappling with the contradictions of the world. The characters in this Advent story turn the worldly rules on their head. We, as followers of the baby Jesus and members of his family, must learn to navigate as foreigners in a hostile land. Jesus Christ is our King and Lord. We can rest assured God is faithful and God is present as we respond to the call in our lives. The reminder heard today in Matthew's gospel is that we are called to attentive faithfulness, to keep watch like shepherds. The world aims to distract us with holiday madness, promising joy for our families. Rest and rejoice in the strength of Christian community at Calvin. Christ has risen. The time to do the hard work of navigating worldly expectations in a posture of servant love is now. Our Calvin Church family is a gift from God. Lean on this gift as we love the world. What is he calling you to do this Advent season?